Welcome to the Thursday, October 6, 2005 podcast of the National Center for Science Education. Today, Nick Mosky discusses the cross-examination of expert witness Barbara Forrest, as well as the testimony of Jen Miller, a biology teacher at Dover Area High School. This is part one of a two-part recording.
Today is Thursday, October 6th. My name is Nick Mosky. I work for the National Center for Science Education. And I'm going to report on day 7 of the Kitzmiller v. Dover trial in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Basically, today was finishing up Barbara Forrest's cross-examination. Barbara Forrest is a professor of philosophy at Southeastern Louisiana University and author of the book Creationism's Trojan Horse. She had testified on Wednesday about the history of intelligent design and how it evolved directly out of creationism. And the cross-examination began yesterday and continued this morning. And there was not a lot of new stuff in the cross-examination. It was very clear after an hour or two that the judge was getting impatient. He wasn't hearing anything new. And the defense was exceeding the time that the direct examination had taken in the cross. And so the judge was ready to get moving with the rest of the trial. The basic points that kept getting hammered on were, for example, Barbara Forrest, you're a secular humanist. Doesn't this mean that evolution should be invalidated just like intelligent design should be invalidated for the religious connections of intelligent design proponents? That kind of implication. And it wasn't exactly attacking Barbara Forrest's objectivity. It was more that, well, how can you criticize ID for their religious connections when you've got religious views of your own? And of course the difference is that evolution is not based on any particular religious belief, and people with diverse religious convictions accept evolution, and the evidence for evolution is in the peer-reviewed literature, volumes and volumes and volumes in the libraries, and that literature is virtually, I won't say entirely, but it's almost always pure research with very little metaphysical commentary. The intelligent design, on the other hand, is mostly metaphysical commentary. What they have that is sort of scientific is basically criticisms of evolution and not actually arguments for ID, and most of those criticisms of evolution have a long history with traditional creationism, and they basically do not stand up to detailed scrutiny. So that was the main tack the defense was taking in the cross-examination. And it was very repetitive and didn't seem to get very far, in my opinion. This was Richard Thompson doing the cross. So eventually the judge basically told Richard Thompson that his time was up. He never quite cut him off, but it was pretty clear the judge was about ready to finish. So the cross-examination ended, and then Eric Rothschild got a chance to do redirect. And this was interesting. He just made a few basic points. One was Richard Thompson had questioned the graphs that Barbara Forrest had put up, which showed word counts of the terms including the phrase creation and terms including the phrase design. So that would catch, you know, creationism, creationist, and things like intelligent design, design theory. So it's kind of a broad search. And then there was a similar search that was more restricted using phrases containing the term creation is, which would catch just creationism and creationist, and then terms including intelligent design specifically. So it wouldn't just catch the usage of the word design, it would catch only intelligent design. So Richard Thompson asked, well, how do you know that these counts are comparable? Because you don't include the total number of words in the document. And that was true. The graphs did not include the total number of words. And so if, for example, one draft had been half as long as the next draft, this could influence the word counts because your sample wouldn't be the same size. So, you know, you might get a doubling in a certain word count because the draft was twice as long. So Eric Rothschild on redirect asked Barbara Forrest, well, how long is the published version of Pandas? About 160 pages. And how long are these drafts? And they're about the same length. All of the drafts are complete drafts with 6 chapters each. The published version is probably a little bit longer, because it has an overview chapter. But then the unpublished versions have got, they have some material that was cut from the published version, so they end up being about the same size. So they dealt with that. And then the sort of closer question that Eric Rothschild asked was, when did you pick the title Creationism's Trojan Horse for your book? And the answer was, well, with the publishers, they picked it back in 2003 or early 2004. And so Eric asked, did you know about the fact that Pandas was originally written as a two-model creationist book when you picked that title? And Barbara Forrest, of course, said no, because no one knew about this until the middle of this year when these documents were produced in the course of this court, investigation for this trial. And so the final question, of course, and it is just too obvious not to do, is doesn't the title Creationism's Trojan Horse seem even more apt now? And of course the answer is yes, and that got a chuckle out of people in court. So I think that was the take-home message from Barbara Forrest's testimony, was that she went out on a limb in a published book, and it wasn't really going out on a limb, but she was on record saying that intelligent design was a Trojan horse for creationism, and then turns out it really was, quite literally. So that was the conclusion of Barbara Forrest's testimony. The next witness up was Jen Miller. She was a teacher at Dover Area High School, and she was the senior biology teacher. She'd been teaching at Dover Senior High for 14 years. And she is she has a biology bachelor's degree and I think a master's in education. And she was basically asked to recount the development of the policy. And essentially what was interesting was that there had been a feud going on between the science teachers and the school board. The school board had been pushing them to give balanced treatment for creationism for a year or two before the intelligent design policy was passed. And the teachers had sort of engaged in a long series of tactical retreats, offering compromises to attempt to get this issue settled and to get the school board off their back. They would offer a compromise like, well, we'll teach gaps and problems in evolution, for example. We'll teach evolution as theory, not fact. They even agreed to have Pandas, the book of Pandas and People, in the science classroom, 30 copies in each classroom. They simply didn't... where they drew the line, though, was in handing this book out and requiring students to look at it with the endorsement of the school. That was the line which they would not cross. And this is what eventually led to the passage of the policy requiring reference to intelligent design, followed by the four-paragraph disclaimer that they were forced to read, except that they didn't end up reading it. And then finally, they didn't end up reading the policy because the teachers all wrote a letter refusing to comply with the school board's directive, citing Pennsylvania state academic standards. They said that if they followed the policy, they would be violating these standards. So eventually these teachers had enough and would not implement the intelligent design policy. The somewhat disturbing thing about all this, I mean, the teachers were very brave for taking that stand, and they got written up in Science Magazine and various other places for taking that stand. This was in January 2005. The disturbing thing, though, is that sort of the de facto situation in Dover Area School District was not exactly a hotbed of evolution dogmatism. All they were teaching in Dover Area High School was what you would call microevolution, or what creationists at least call microevolution. They said they did not teach macroevolution, and they basically were using the creationist understanding of these terms. They would only teach small-scale evolution. They would do Darwin's finches, which is technically, that is macroevolution. It's diversification of species. But for creationists, it's all variation within a kind. The teachers would not teach human evolution. They would not teach the origin of life. And they would not teach common ancestry of life in general.